So my next introduction is a progressive writer and a movement organizer in the progressive movement for a long, long time, Kevin Alexander Gray. He is a tremendous human being, really a pleasure to know, and a deep thinker and a great writer. He is the editor of the anthology Killing Trayvons, an anthology of American violence, which is a profound book, which I highly recommend to all of you. He worked for Jesse Jackson in South Carolina, where he's from. You may have seen him on MSNBC. He took Chris Hayes on a walk through the streets in South Carolina, showing him the names of all of the famous white racists who are emblazoned on street signs, which was really a dramatic illustration of the problem of white supremacy and how it lives on in this country since slavery. He's currently organizing the Harriet Tubman Freedom House Project, which focuses on community-based political and cultural education. He's an organizer with the National Mobilization Committee Against the Drug War, past national board member of the American Civil Liberties Union for 4 years, South Carolina coordinator for the 1988 presidential campaign of Jesse Jackson, and 1992 Southern political director for the presidential campaign of Iowa Senator Tom Harkin. He was a Green Party candidate for governor in South Carolina and was a founding member of the National Rainbow Coalition in 1986. We feature his work in the Progressive magazine and on our website at progressive.org, and we are really, really glad to have him back at Fighting Bob Fest.
So long. That was too long.
I don't know who that guy was. I'd like to thank Ruth and the Progressive and Fighting Bob Fest. This is my third year here. I think it's my fourth time coming to Madison, so this is becoming a yearly event for me to come to Madison. I want to do something a little bit different because I think that we're in tough, mean times with this election, with all the bitterness that's going on in the country. And you know, I want to start out by reading something to throw us into what's going on with some of the young people today. No refugee could save the hireling and slave from the terror of flight or the gloom of the grave. And the star-spangled banner in triumph doth wave over the land of the free and the home of the brave. I mention that because today I thought about keeping my focus on how we face and shape the future. I guess we could think about it like Dr. King wrote years ago, where do we go from here? Everything, as I grow older, that I read from Dr. King really makes a lot of sense for my life. But when we see, hear, and feel all the meanness in this country, in this election year, where Latinos are rapists, where black and brown people are trying to take jobs from everybody else, where police kill because they think they can and they can get away with it, where they have the power of life and death in their hands, where they might disproportionately kill black people, they actually kill more white people. And we give this force in blue the power of life and death, the power to take away someone's right to due process, often for crimes that if they went to court, it wouldn't warrant the death penalty, wouldn't even warrant time in jail. We're in a time when Dr. King talked about the triple evils of racism, economic exploitation, and militarism. We see it in our streets. We see it in a militarized police force that's trying to keep people under control. We see it in the empire and the bully nation, and people trying to make us stand and salute and honor when we have a choice. I want to mention what's going on with the young people, and especially with the protest that's going on with Colin Kaepernick, because a reporter asked me when it first started, well, Kevin, do you think it's as significant as Muhammad Ali? And my first response was, no, well, you know, Ali gave up his livelihood. Ali went to jail. People love Ali in the grave. They loved him as an old man, but they certainly didn't love him when he was alive and when he was young and fighting in his prime. And he challenged the Vietnam War, and he challenged militarism. But when I started thinking about it, with the young folks standing up in the streets, protesting empire, protesting the police state, protesting militarism. The fact that this young man could make that statement, and then as you read the papers every day, you see people making the decision to make that statement too, that they've decided that there needs to be a change. Now, some of y'all might know I come from a military family. My father spent 27 years in the Navy, and all my brothers were in the service. I was in the service. That's the only time that you take that oath that you have to stand. Everything else is a choice. As president of ACLU in South Carolina, I remember having to defend the people who wore an X shirt or wore a Confederate flag on a shirt or even wore dreadlocks. That's about rights. It's about the Constitution. That one thing, that one document, as Kamala says, as flawed as it is, that's the document that holds us together as a nation. The only thing that we have in common is that document in the post office. So to see young people standing up, and a lot of us are getting older, we have to support that. We have to stop and take the time to educate the kids, the young people, people younger than us, about the context of being a progressive, the context of the fight that many of us have fought all our lives. We have to help them and support them and repopulate what being a progressive is. You look at the presidential campaigns now, and everybody wants to be a progressive. 10 years ago, they would never use the word. Now they use the word because it's a way to keep from saying liberal, which has been scorned. But we all know being a progressive means something. It means being against militarism. It means being against endless war. It means being against the death penalty. It means being taking care of the poor, the damned, the despised, and the disregarded. That's what being a progressive means. Being a progressive has ideological content. It's not just about standing up in front of a camera and all of a sudden being one. We're in a presidential year, as I said, and I'm not, you know, I have sworn and I'm not going to fall out with anybody about who they want to vote for. I actually know some people that are supporting Donald Trump that I actually like. My neighborhood hardware guy and all the guys that work with him, they support Donald Trump, and I can't imagine why, because after the earthquake in Haiti, that same store, hardware store, gave me all kinds of supplies to take down to Haiti after the earthquake. So, and I know people that support Hillary Clinton. And I was in the room in 1992 with Jesse Jackson when Bill Clinton did his notorious Sister Soldier. And I can't repeat what I said the moment he did that. I was in Georgia working for Tom Harkin in 1992 when Bill Clinton went down to Stone Mountain, Georgia and took that picture with all those inmates. And I fought and wrote against the 93 crime bill that escalated the war on drugs, that escalated all this police abuse that takes place in the black community. But I understand, as I understand the people that supported Barack Obama, because it was important that this country understand that more than white males can lead this country. Women can lead this country. Latinos can lead this country. Indian Americans can lead this country. Arab Americans can lead this country. Gay people can lead this country. So I understand that that's where some people are. But going forward, changing the nature of empire, changing the nature of the bully state, that's why the Kaepernick issue is so important. And if he can endure throughout this football season, fighting the bullies, fighting the death threats, encouraging people, to look at this whole idea of tying a football game and sports to honoring the troops and supporting militarism. And we've got to be mindful that he is in the tradition of Muhammad Ali and Tommy Smith and John Carlos. He's in the tradition of Fannie Lou Hamer, a sharecropper who registered to vote. And when the boss said, Fannie, you've got to go take your name off the roll, or you've got to leave the farm, and you still might have to leave the farm. She said, well, I didn't go register for you. He's in the tradition of Rosa Parks. She sat on the back of the bus by herself. History is about the people that take a stand. And we're at a crucial time in this country. Regardless of which person wins this race, Trump or Hillary, we're still going to have to be out in the streets. We're going to have to be out in the streets to fight against Hillary Clinton's militarism, or we'd have to be out in the streets to fight Donald Trump's mobism, because that's what he is. We've got to fight against the extremism of our government. I was talking to a young man out outside the gate a while ago, and his father, he was talking about the vice presidential candidate for the Green Party calling Barack Obama and Uncle Tom. And I said, well, the problem I have with that is he does represent empire, but if you've ever read Uncle Tom's Cabin, and a lot of people haven't, and Malcolm even got this wrong, Uncle Tom was a hero. Uncle Tom didn't betray the other escaped Africans by telling which way they went. And Simon, he stayed on the plantation because he didn't want the other enslaved Africans to believe that Simon Legree was all it was. And of course, at the turn of the century, the racists turned the name Uncle Tom into something that we scorn. I says, I got a problem with that. Now, if you talk about Barack Obama as any American president being an agent or perpetrator of empire, then that's what he is. This idea that every Tuesday you're going to meet and kill somebody. This idea that you're going around saying, well, I killed Osama bin Laden. Well, you didn't have to. You could have brought him in. This idea that you're going to advance the bully state, advance murder, it will never work. I believe, as Dr. King believed, that the arc of the moral universe is long, but it bends toward justice. It does not bend toward the empire. Read the history books, how many have survived. We have to fight back. We have to organize. We have to start doing the teach-ins. We have to fight against the charter schools and this Wall Street school systems. We got to fight against prison privatization. We got to fight against the drug war. We got to still demand universal health care. All the issues that we progressives claim were about. We got to roll back the police state. That's our mission. Our mission is to educate our family, our friends, our neighbors, and even those we disagree with. We can't be like those we disagree with, perpetuating hatred, perpetuating killing, but we do have to call it like it is. We have to call a racist, and we have to realize that we're in America. We're in a country that was built on racism. We have to be conscious of our own racism. Racism as it relates to institutional power, not this whole idea of confusing racism with bigotry. We have to understand what white supremacy means. If a black cop is, let me give you a good example instead of just, I was riding to New York with a colleague who happened to be white, wrote for the New York Times. I was still with the ACLU, and we get pulled over in Virginia by a young black cop. And the first question he asked that white lady, are you transporting this man? I had another incident coming across the border from Mexico at an ACLU convention. In the car with three white folk. And the guy at the border looks at the three white folk and he looks at me and says, where were you born? Now, institutional racism is, they'll all kick your ass. It doesn't matter. They'll all see you as something less than human. Institutional racism is about the foundation of this country. It isn't just saying you're racist or you're deplorable. It's much deeper than that. We've got to school them on these definitions that they mess up so often. And we've got to understand who we are, teach our kids better. As Dr. King said, the arc of the moral universe is long, but it bends toward justice. But one day, as he said in one of his final speeches, one day the moral universe will make us sing out in a way that we'll really, really mean it. We have overcome. Deep in my heart, I did believe that we would overcome, and we will then have the beloved community in this country. Thank y'all for having me.
Kevin Alexander Gray, everybody.